means if we're willing to die for him, we're willing to obey whatever he asks us to do. That means we're willing to abide by his word, his promises, and his covenant. That means he says, listen, there's things that I want you to understand, but you need wisdom and discernment and understanding from my spirit so that you can discern them for times and seasons. God says, I've come to bring life and life abundantly. But so many people lack it. Why? Because the devil comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. So where they're stealing. See, the thing is people open doors that don't even realize the doors are open. The Bible says don't touch anything unclean. That means even in your thoughts. Doesn't mean they won't come. Just don't agree with them. The Bible says don't rob from God and tithe and offerings. So don't steal from him. Give him his 10%. Or you're cursed. Amen? Does everybody get it? Obedience is better than what? Sacrifice. Well, you may say, I got bills to pay. Well, who's paying them now? Jesus pays the bills. But the devil will block the blessings if you're not in line with the word of God. See, this is where people become to rely on themselves. You and I have earned nothing. What we're earning is his trust. That's what we're earning. We are earning his trust. Everything that we've gotten, we didn't earn. Does everybody get it? Those are things he said he provides for me and you. He said, quit worrying about what you need to wear, eat, and drink, and everything else. I got it. Seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added to you. All of these things are promises of God, his covenant. Cast your cares upon me, for I care for you. All of these things are his promises. But so many people don't believe his promises. They just don't believe it. They hear it. And they may accept it, but they don't believe it. Because if you believe it, you follow it. You do it. You practice it. You put it into your life. If you don't believe it, you won't put it to practice. See, so many times it hasn't gone to the heart yet. It's still in the head. And it must go to the heart. And that's where a relationship is. And this is where we become lovers of his presence. See, if you're truly a lover of his presence, you won't do anything to grieve his presence. That doesn't mean you'll make a mistake. Those don't grieve God's presence. But the intents of the heart can grieve God's presence. That's where it says, grieve not the Holy Spirit and things you say and do and whatever. Thank God for repentance. Amen? Lord, forgive me. Can you imagine standing before God and he says, you've been robbing me all these years. What do you mean I robbed you? Well, you robbed me of time with me. You robbed me of tithes and offerings. You robbed me of laboring. You didn't labor onto me. You labored onto yourself. You robbed me of all of these things. You trusted in yourself instead of me, he says. And you didn't worship me from the heart. You worshiped me from the head. This is robbing from God. We must become lovers of his presence. Lovers of his what? Presence. Listen, there's nothing wrong with loving his word, but you better be a lover of his presence. That's priority. Why? Because in his presence is his word. When you love the presence, you love everything that comes with it. Amen? Everyone say, I choose to be a lover of his presence. That's where fulfillment is. That's why people seek everything else. They seek relationships for fulfillment. They seek materialism for fulfillment. They seek self-pleasures for fulfillment. Everything is fulfillment except for God's presence. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more. In other words, increase more and more. Just as you receive from us how you ought to what? walk, and to what? Please God. You should know this. We should learn this more and more. You're going to find more and more things that please God and more things that displease God. For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, that your sanctification, your separation unto him, your relationship where? In his presence. That you should abstain from sexual immorality. Why? Because it's going to grieve his presence. That each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. Sanctification, separation and honor to him. The fear of the Lord brings him honor. Obedience brings him honor. Humility brings him honor. Everything that you do should be a desire to bring him honor. We labor unto the Lord, not unto ourselves. When you start grumbling and complaining because you're not making enough money for work, does God know it? Does he want you to grumble and complain about it? Does he want you to cast his cares upon him? Of course. Lord, you know my work isn't providing enough money. Well, you better check out why it's being stolen or what's happening. Are you protecting that money? Are you tithing that money for protection? You got to pay for protection. Hello? Everybody pays for protection. Does everybody get it? You pay for protection from everything. Why? How do you pay for protection from the enemy? You praise and worship. It brings his presence. The enemy can't touch you. So why? There's a price of everything. Some people just ain't willing to pay the price. Oh, glory. We're going somewhere. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, and each of you should know how to possess his own vessel with what? In sanctification and honor. Not in what? Passion of lust. Now, lust is what? Overwhelming desires of things that displease God. Like the Gentiles who do not know God. Wow. That no one should take advantage and defraud his brother in this matter. In other words, lie, cheat, or mislead. Because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also forewarned you and testified. This was a warning and testified against them. You ain't getting away with nothing. For God did not call us to what? Uncleanness, but in what? Holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God. And he rejects God's presence, who has also given us his Holy Spirit. Sanctification, cleanliness, and holiness are those that are manifested in those who are lovers of his presence. Lovers of his presence. See, you don't go there. No, I ain't going there. What are you going? The enemy's trying to lead you to do something that's displeasing to God. See, in your first carnal mind of reasoning, well, that can't be displeasing to God. That's a choice I'm making. No. What's the end result of it? See, if you're not, only through God's presence are you able to see the end result of every decision you make. Amen? What's the end? See, the enemy doesn't want you to see the end result, so you make present day decisions that are pleasant to you, but it isn't pleasant to God. Hello? Does everybody understand? Everybody's made a decision that I thought was pleasant to them, but then later on found out what a mistake that was. Amen? We must be lovers of his presence. That's your priority. That's your fulfillment. And unless that's not your fulfillment, there's something wrong with you. And you must protect that. John 4:23. But the hour is coming, and now is when true worshipers, if you're a true worshiper, you're a true lover of his presence. And if you're a true worshiper, you worship out of your heart. See, when you first get saved and everything's still out of the mind. God is working to penetrate the heart. So things that we sing, but we're sowing. When you're singing, even though the words are up there, and if you're singing out of your mind still, you're still sowing in the spirit. And it's beginning to penetrate the heart to where the heart is broke. But things that have the wrong intent of the heart harden that parts of the heart. So see, not everybody's heart's moldable in the hands of God. Only part of their heart is moldable because they're still holding on to things. Does everybody understand that? That's where you got to ask yourself, what am I still holding on to? Is it material things? Is it idols? What am I still holding on to? If God came, showed up and said, I don't want you to give this all away, would you? Or would you try and justify and reason? But. Remember, nothing. We are stewards. We don't own anything. But the hour is coming, and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit, which means breath and out of the heart, and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. Wow. So if the Father is seeking such to worship someone, the closer that someone has a relationship is because they become what? True worshipers. They become lovers of His presence. And I really believe this is what separates us not only from the world, but even from parts of the body of Christ. Because the body of Christ, part of it is religious. They're still living out of their head, not out of their heart. Oh, they can quote scriptures, but there isn't true repentance. See, you and I should be looking for those areas. We should be looking for conviction, not wait for it. Does everybody get that? Why? Because you want to be convicted by the Spirit of God so that you keep a clean slate with God. You want the fullness of life, not just of present life, but eternal life in you. Wherever you go, you want to carry the presence of God with you. You want to carry peace, joy, and righteousness. If you're miserable, there's something wrong. If you're easily misled, there's something wrong. If you become offended too easily, there's something wrong. Amen? It says here, 24, for God is spirit, and those who worship Him must, that is a command, worship Him in spirit and truth. That means out of the heart, not out of the mind. In other words, there's a time as you're a believer and you're sowing in the Spirit because you're reading the Scripture, you're reading it, and you're speaking the Word. But then it's penetrating the heart. And you're doing things because you know it's best. You know it pleases God. You know He loves that you do things that please Him even though when they don't please you. I really don't feel like worshiping, but you do it to please Him. I really don't feel like going to church, but you do it to please Him. Because what are you doing? You're gathering in His presence. So you're doing things to please Him because you're showing Him you love Him. And as you do those things that please Him, things begin to change in you. The next thing you know, you're no longer going, do I have to? You're going, I want to. That's the difference. Now you know you not only need God's presence, but you want His presence. And you know that as His presence comes, you're fulfilled. You're satisfied. That's why the more we worship, the more we get filled, the more we get satisfied. The more we gather, the more we get filled. Amen? I'm telling you, what do? We worship almost 3 times a week, plus every morning and whatever, on campus. You guys should be glowing. Shouldn't even need to turn the light on. Hallelujah. There shouldn't be anything bad coming out of your mouth. There should be no grumbling and complaining because you're satisfied. True worshipers are lovers of His presence. And you access is granted through presence. Through worship, I mean. Access to His presence is granted through what? Worship. It's from the heart, not from the head. From the what? Heart, not the head. You will not gain access to his presence from the head. You'll gain access to his presence from the heart. Sowing from the head is the process of getting to the heart. Psalm 24. We are lovers of his presence. What a song. Then it becomes personal. I love your presence. Oh, snap, that melts me every time. Because I'm a lover of his presence. His presence has changed me. Psalm 24, verse 3. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, and who may stand in the holy place of his presence? Is everybody there? You see it? Ooh. He who what? Has clean hands. And it doesn't mean washing your hands with good soap. It means not touching things unclean in the, from the spirit or through the thoughts of the or intents of the heart, not agreeing with them. Who has clean hands and a pure heart. See, because they go together, don't they? Who has not lifted up his soul to an idol. Oh. In other words, put things of the present before God. Nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive blessing from the Lord. Why is the devil stealing your blessings? Because of these things that are not being fulfilled and required. He shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him and who seek his face, his presence. Amen. Clean hands and a pure heart, no idols. That tells us the whole thing about, again, what God says, I am the way, truth, and life. He says you must first what? Deny yourself, pick up the cross, and follow. In other words, deny yourself. Pick up the cross and fight, and then enter. Because to follow him, you must enter his presence. Does everybody get it? The Bible says he's not far from us, but a breath away. So there's always a song running in you at some time. When you wake up, no matter what. Every morning, there's a meh. And sometimes when you're going to sleep, you got to tell it to shut up because it won't stop. Stop it. You repeat it all night long. I can't go to sleep. Then you got to ask. You got to quote scripture. Then, Lord, you said you give your beloved sleep, because that song's running. Yeah. You want to get up and worship, pray, do something? Man, I need rest. Go wake up your neighbor. Hallelujah. Psalm 15, verse 1. Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle. Now, his tabernacle has three chambers, outer court, holy place, most holy place, right? It's known as the way, truth, and life. Amen? That's the tabernacle. It's also known as something special. The outer court is known as love. Why? Because he what? He so loved the world that he what? Gave his only son. The holy place is known as light, because the word is a what? Light unto my path. It's truth. And the most holy place is known as life. He's the life giver. Now, the word life pertains to existence. What's the word life pertain to? Existence. God created things out of nothing, that though, so that, you know, he breathed in them. He created the dust and made man out of dust. He takes those that are not as though they are, decrees it. What he speaks doesn't return void. So we see that the tabernacle is associated with love, light, and life also. And it says here, who may what? Abide in your tabernacle, the fullness of your presence. Who may dwell in your holy hill? These are requirements to maintain his presence of love, light, and life. It says here what? He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart, in other words, exposes his own intents of corruption or self-fulfillment. He who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does he does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend, and whose eyes a vile person is despised. Why? Because he's seeing through the eyes of God, carries the heart of the Lord. But he honors those who fear the Lord, who swears to his own hurt and does not change. Whoa. I ain't changing. I'm changing more in his image and likeness, not the other way. He who does not put out his money at usury, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be moved out of God's presence. That's what he's talking about. He said these are guidelines. These are requirements to maintain his presence. Remember, the tabernacle is the way, truth, and life. It is the outer court, holy place, most holy place. The outer court is God's love. It's a representation of the price that Jesus paid, the cross. He so loved the world that he gave his son. It's a place of sacrifice. The holy place is known as the light. The light is a word unto our path. It's also known as truth, isn't it? Amen? Way, truth, and life. And life is associated with existence. God creates existence out of nothing. That's what life is. Amen? That's what life is. He created animals. He created everything that he's created. Everything you and I see here, even this wall, it's got light in it. Everything. Everything has light. It's a created existence. Hello? Just because it doesn't breathe doesn't mean it doesn't have light. It was created from God. The Bible says God is love. So everything that's been done is because of love. Nothing else. It's all love. God is love, not lust. Love. His love is different. It's different than the false reality we live in of love. Love is the false reality of love is lust. It's different. Because people lust out of what they see. They lust out of what they feel. They lust out of what they feel, touch. They lust out of emotion. God's love is nothing compared to that. His love heals. His love is different. It's an eternal love. It's a compassion that he has for me and you. He sees how frail we are. And he loves us unconditionally, even when we're morons. His love never stops. He holds everything by the power of his love. And in his love is light. And in his light is life. Does everybody get it? Love, light, and life. It's all one. Remember, the Spirit searches the deep things of God. See, God is trying to so many times reveal to us who he is. But we're looking for it in a different manner. Even the Israelites, when Jesus was manifested in the flesh, the Word became flesh, even they didn't get it because he was like a human. He was human, but he wasn't human. His body was made from the Word, not from the dust. His blood, he created his own blood, pure, not contaminated, not inherited, pure. And he was God in the physical, in this body that held him. John 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was what? God. The Bible says the Word is what? Life. It's light. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through Him. And without Him, nothing was made that was made. In Him was life. And the life was the light of man. The light shines in darkness, and darkness did not comprehend it. Love. Remember, God is love. So why did He create man? Why did He create all things? Out of love. But in His love is what? Light. And in His light is life. So every human being has light in them. Everything created, even an animal, even an ant, has light. You know, I remember having to do for a qualification for my scuba stuff, and I was when I was in the military and stuff, and I had to get qualified in scuba diving and all kinds of stuff because I used to fly in search and rescue. And one of the requirements was to have a night dive. And when we dove at night, there were certain, I don't know what, minerals or little mini creatures that, and you could stir them up at night, it would become light. I thought, oh, so cool. So if you could sense them around, you could start stirring, you'd see a couple, then you'd see more and more and more and more. If you stirred them up, then they lit up. I thought, wow. And it kind of reminded me of how everything God created, there's light. Why? Because it's anything He creates, light, and what's in the light? Life. Everything. Why? But what light and life is in what? In His love. It's all in His love. In Him was life. And the life was the light of men, and the light shines in darkness, and darkness does what? Not comprehend it. Love, light, and life. Your own darkness couldn't comprehend the light of existence in you. Does everybody get it? Why? Because your flesh is darkness, and it prevented the light from shining forth. Oh. Your own darkness couldn't comprehend the existence of life or light in us until you are born again of the Spirit. So the only thing that you and I comprehended at the time before being born again was a present life, a survival life. I need to do this life. And we were told how we needed to do it. We needed to get an education. You needed to make money to be anybody. When we were predestined to be somebody no matter what. But the enemy wanted to capture us and enslave us so we would only live in the present life at that time, but never grab hold or comprehend the eternal life. So he did everything he could to block the true light of and love of Christ to penetrate us. When we had the light of life, but yet we couldn't get it. We couldn't comprehend it because we were darkness. We lived in the flesh, and we couldn't comprehend the things of the light. I mean, think about this. It's revealing who He really is and how much He loves us. So everything is created. So, because we always consider life as breathing. But the Bible says the life of the flesh is in the blood, not in your breathing. Amen? Why? Because your flesh is darkness. That's why the Bible says, if you want to be sons of God, you must be led by the light, by the Spirit, so your flesh is what? Crucified and has no influence on you. Why? Because it's darkness. That's why we need to get a new mind, a new head. Amen? John chapter something, 3, verse 18. He who what? Believes in Him. What's the word believe mean? Follow. Is not condemned. But he who does not follow is condemned already because he's not believed in the only begotten Son, in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men. It's come into the world and men, just like we talked about. Why? Because in light is life, which is existence. And men love darkness rather than light. Ooh. So they love the flesh, the works of the flesh, more than they did the light of God. Because their deeds were what? Evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. Why? Because they were led by the flesh. But he who does not, does the truth, comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, and that they have been done in God. Wow. You know, many people don't come to counsel because they don't want the darkness to be exposed in them. Deception is darkness. Hello? They love the present life, the darkness, more than eternal life. It is the present life of the flesh. Again, the life of the flesh is in the blood, not in the spirit. But when you are born again, it's different. See, the flesh promotes darkness and protects it and covers against the light. It'll do everything. Why? Because the enemy has access to your flesh. Your flesh was a child of the devil. It was an offspring of darkness. That's why it has to be crucified. Or else it will continually influence. Listen, you sleep with that thing. You awake. It's the first thing it wants to take possession of you. As soon as you're awake, your thoughts. As soon as you awake, the first thing it says, you got things to do today. Instead of saying, Holy Spirit, help me pray. It's going to direct you to the flesh instead of the light. It's going to direct you to the darkness instead of the light. It's going to direct you to the flesh instead of the spirit. But you have to overcome that. The first thing that's going to come to you, oh, I need to find out what the weather is today. No, you don't. Oh, what's on the news today? What's happening here? What's happening? No, you don't. You need to ask the Holy Spirit to come and help you pray. And to kill yourself. Hello? Oh, I got to get to work. I got to make money. How many of you know we get counsel every time we come together and get teachings? The Holy Spirit brings His counsel. Whether you choose to accept it or not is up to you. You can reject it or you can say, well, it's just coming from a man. No, the uniting teaches us. Believe me, I don't ponder on these things all night long. You can ask my wife. I go get downloaded within 2 hours and sometimes 45 minutes. That's it. She'll keep coming by wanting to know, what's the title today? And I don't have nothing. There's nothing on my papers, nothing. You got 45 minutes left. What are you going to do? I'm like, man, you're trying to bring fear on me? Like, well, what are you going to do, Lord? This is yours, not me. And also, it's like download. Matthew 6:22. The lamp of the body is the what? The eye. It's not only the eye, that your physical eye, but it's the eye of the mind. Amen? It's the eye of the soul. It's the eye of the flesh. It's what its perceptions are. What it sees. How many of y'all know what you feel you see? I feel it, but you see it then. Hello? The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. Woohoo. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you, come on, is darkness, how great is that darkness? How's it? In other words, how much is it covered? And now you're deceived. You're walking in a deception state. It says here, look at it, he warns us, you can't serve two masters, for either you will hate the one and love the other, or else be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. In other words, you can't serve the flesh and the spirit. You can't serve the light and darkness. You know, I know we've heard this before. How many times are people on the fence? Well, the fence the devil owns, right? Verse 25. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life. That's a good one, isn't it? Don't worry about your life, man. Don't worry about your existence. Does everybody hear that? Don't worry about your existence. What will you eat or what will you drink, nor your body? What will you put on? Is not life more than food and body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? Which of you worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? Oh, you little faith. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. Now listen, he's always exposing the Gentiles. Why? Because the Gentiles is according to the flesh. It's according to darkness. It's according to deception. Why? They're always promoting their present life. Amen? Look at all the politicians. It's amazing how many politicians, which their pay is usually $100,000, $150,000, maybe $200,000, they come out of office after a few years and they become billionaires and millionaires. Why? Because of corruptive money. Every one of them. They're Gentiles. They're of the darkness. They're of the flesh. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, which is his character, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Wow. The eye of the mind, the soul, the flesh. Lust of the eye. What does he tell us? The lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, pride of life. Amen. You know, when we agree with these things, they open the doors to cover the light and cover the eternal life of existence. So people are still fighting for their present life and not the eternal life. If you ain't a lover of his presence, none of this is going to make any sense to you. John 10:7, please. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. And all who ever came in before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that you may have life, and that you may have it what? More abundantly. Life and more abundantly. Life and more abundantly. I love it. In other words, remember, God is love. In his love is light, and in his light is life. She will have more of the life, the love of God, the light of God, and the love of God, and the life of God. In this existence, life represents what? Existence. Everything is existence because of his love. But it didn't come to life or existence without the light. Everything has light in it, which is energy. It's what? energy. That's why music has frequency and energy. It does something to the soul, doesn't it? That's why when we praise and worship the Lord, you're not going to get, you bring God's presence because you're bringing His light and energy. And you change. You get regenerated. You're like an ever-ready battery. Doing those symbols. What's that, rabbit? And then he can't do it no more. Then he needs to get in God's presence again. Then he comes out going, yeah, bam, bam, bam. Psalm 16, verse 1, please. How many of y'all, David made a lot of mistakes? King David, he made mistakes. Boy, did he make some. He was even known as Peeping David. Amen? Yeah, he made some mistakes. But there was something about David. He was after God's heart. He strayed. Amen? What was the end result? He fulfilled the will of God. Now, God did not allow him to build his temple because of the uncleanness of his hands. But he allowed his son to carry on what he couldn't complete. David left a legacy behind. People don't remember so much of all those stupid things he did. They remember that he was a man after God's heart. Even Solomon did a lot of stupid things. Boy, did he fall into, I mean, he married, he had so many wives and so many porcupines or concubines. Same thing. I don't know how the guy stayed alive. Might have kept him young. I don't know. But anyways. But people ended up thinking about how he built the temple for God, the tabernacle for God. Amen? And the wisdom that God gave him. The wisdom, knowledge, and understanding God gave him. But look at all the wonderful things Solomon did until he fell into fornication. Until he began to drift and began to worship other gods and build altars and idols and so forth. Then he blew it. Then they lost the temple. Amen. Jerusalem got invaded. Hallelujah. Psalm 16, verse 1. Preserve me, O God, for I trust... In you I put my trust. My soul you have said to the Lord, you are my Lord. My soul, in other words, my heart has said, you are my Lord, not my head. My goodness is nothing apart from you. As for the saints who are on the earth, they are the excellent ones, in whom is all my delight. Their sour shall be multiplied who hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood I will not offer, nor take up their names on my lips. O Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You maintain my lot. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. In other words, David didn't run from counsel. He ran for conviction. He wanted to be exposed so that he would please God. My heart also instructs me in the night season. Why? After he went to counsel to the Lord. I have set the Lord always before me. That's so powerful. If everybody had set the Lord before them, they wouldn't be doing so many stupid things. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope. Isn't it nice to have your flesh finally come to rest? I'll rest. For you will not leave my soul in hell, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life, of existence. And in your presence is fullness of joy. And at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Wow. The fullness of joy and pleasures, it's favor and blessings. In his presence, why? His presence separates us from the prince of the power of error, who is the oppressor, whose oppressive heaviness and the presence of darkness interferes with everyone's life. How many people are on antidepressant medication? They just need to get in God's presence. Why? The devil oppresses people. Then they drink, which makes it even worse. Philippians 2, verse 12, please. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, and not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Do all things without what? Complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain nor labored in vain. Yes, if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. For the same reason, you also be glad and rejoice with me. Hold fast to the word of life, love, and light. Maintaining the existence in this reality. It's a temporary reality. It's a false reality. Until we go home. Amen. Until we go home. Now I encourage you that after teachings, it's good to go and review them. In other words, don't just take it from here and go home, put it on the shelf, and wait till the next teaching. Go home and go over it, review it, let it penetrate into your spirit, what the Spirit is saying. It could rescue you from your next choice. 2 Thessalonians 2:5. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things, and now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do until he is taken out of the way. That's us, the body of Christ. Can you imagine? Look at all the stuff that's going on now. Can you imagine when there's no more restraint? And they're just running rapidly with no restraints. What's going to happen to people? Demonize individuals. Then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will eventually consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive or love the truth, or what? The presence of God. That they might be saved. And this is, and for this reason, God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe in the lie or the lust. That they all may be condemned who do not follow the truth or believe in the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. They did not love the light, the love. Truth. They did not love eternal life or his presence. They might not known about it because the enemy prevented them from getting it. But God is not allowing that to happen. He's given opportunity for everyone in the whole world to awaken, to desire the truth. He's given everybody the opportunity. But stubbornness, hardness of the heart, will prevent an individual from seeing it and receiving it. And the only thing that will awaken them is tribulation. And they can repent then. I believe that there's going to be some disasters coming big time to cause people to come to repentance. Like the financial crisis. You know, right now the stock is booming. But it's a lie. It's all a lie. But many people don't get it. Because it's going to collapse. Many people are going to lose their shorts. And all of their wardrobe. The only thing that they'll have for cherishing is their memories. You know, God has been preparing his body for years. Nothing has come in suddenly to where say, oh, he's been preparing his body for years. So they don't get caught in the suddenly. Amen? But people just not willing because they're stubborn. They're allowing the desires and the lust to make decisions and choices instead of the Spirit. John 12:24. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. It's a good day to die, isn't it? He who loves his life will what? He who loves his present life will lose it. He who hates his life in this world, which is his present life, will keep it for what? Eternal life. What an exchange. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. Serves him, not self. You lose the present life, you gain eternal life. In other words, we don't want to stay in survival mode. We live a life of surrender mode and service unto the Lord, no matter what it is. Why? Because you're a lover of his presence. It's vitally important to you. It is everything to you. It is life. In his presence is your existence. Matthew 25, verse 1. The kingdom of heaven shall be likened 10 virgins, we've heard this multiple times, who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. These are all believers because they were called virgins. They were cleansed from their sins. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. Now, don't misunderstand this. They took the word of God, but they did not take the presence. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Well, they were lit. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, a cry was heard, behold, the bridegroom is coming, to go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose, trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered and said, nope, lest there should not be enough for us and you. Go rather to those who sell and buy for yourself. Nobody can give. You can't give somebody else God's presence. And while they went to go by, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. And afterward, the other virgins came also saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. Why? Because they knew the word. They had God's presence, but they didn't maintain it. But he answered and said to them, surely I say to you, I do not know you. Why? Because God knows his presence. Jesus knows Jesus. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. That's the suddenly, isn't it? Foolish and wise. And I'm going to close out Isaiah 60 in verse 1. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people.
Wow.
But the Lord will rise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of his rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar. Your daughters shall be nursed at your side. Then you shall see and become radiant. And your heart shall swell with joy. And the wealth of the wicked or the Gentiles shall come to you. The multitude of camels. Thank God we don't need camels today. Shall cover your land and dromedaries of the medium and so forth. Those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall proclaim the praises of the Lord. All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together to you, the rams of this place, and shall minister to you. And they shall ascend with you. They shall ascend with acceptance on my altar, and I will glorify the house of my glory. Again, darkness is about to cover the earth even worse than what it is. We haven't seen anything yet. It's happening. Why? The more darkness, the more light you shine. It's almost like God is squeezing out with darkness so people run out of it into the light. So that's why he's shaking the earth and everything in it. Amen? The world is shaking. It's going to shake more. There's going to be more disasters, more things. There's going to be more wars and rumors of wars. But in that time, those who come out of darkness into the light will be blessed. Why? Because we're going to be prosperous, victorious, and anointed. And we will be ready. I believe that the delay right now slightly is because the body of Christ isn't ready to receive all that need to be received. Not all of them are, there's not enough of them that are lovers of his presence. Many go to church for entertainment or find a spouse instead of God's presence. You become a lover of his presence and you have everything. And you got nothing to worry about. Amen. Thank you, Father, for your word. We are honored and blessed. Lord, this revelation you've released to us today, let it be imparted in every part of our being and sealed by the blood and by the Holy Spirit. So it can come to remembrance as we continue to go through in preparation for what you're about to do, that you have fully prepared us, and we have no excuse. Have mercy. Let your grace abound abundantly and prepare our hearts for communion. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.